You are listening to Positive Living Vibrations with Sara Troy.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to another series of Positive Living Vibrations with Sara Troy and her guest today, Dr. Nadine. Dr. Nadine goes by that name, one single name, because she makes a statement as to who she is and what she stands for. She is an internationally renowned gifted healer, a clairvoyant, a teacher, and an ambassador for health and well-being. As a healer, Dr. Nadine works with a team of archangels, ascended masters, and Elthrum. I'm probably saying that wrong. She reads on multi-levels and multi-dimensions. During most private sessions, her clients become active participants in the session. All healing sessions are profound with amazing outcomes, especially if you are open to receiving. Nadine teaches tools, skills, and abilities as a mastering alchemy teacher that allow you to create a happier life of choice in balance, freedom, and validation. She's known around the world as the naturopath and holistic nutritional specialist and is the creator of Soul Food Deck. It's an app that you can download and look at one every single day to guide you along your way. And we will certainly get far more into that. Nadine says you are big, you are significant, and it's time for you to own your own power, to create your magnificence on purpose with a conscious choice. And I could not agree with her more. If we want to have change in our life, if we want to have control in our lives, we have to realize that we have to take responsibility of our lives, our choices, our actions, our perceptions, and our attitude, and opening up to the divine and what is possible. So let's discover how this journey started, because you won't believe she actually was a math teacher. How did she go from math teaching to divine teaching? Let's find out. Good morning, Dr. Nadine.
Good morning, and good morning, everyone around the world. I'm very excited to be here sharing with you.
Oh, we're excited to have you here. Now, math teacher, you know, I'm sorry, math was not my thing. And, you know, whenever they started bringing up the numbers, it was, you know, yabanese to me. I just was not mathematically inclined at all. How do you go for something that is so utterly structured? And, you know, and mathematical is you know, it's all equations, and go into something in such divine spirit, which is completely openness and trust and receiving. Because it's like going from your, you know, genetic mind to your organic mind. You're using both sides of those minds. But how did you take that leap? What was that catalyst that took you from there?
So before we get there, you open a wonderful pathway to talk about the balance of masculine and feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And masculine energy is all straight lines and angles.
Ah.
And it provides the structure so that the feminine can flow. It gives her the opportunity, the space, for the divine feminine energy to flow and move and expand.
That
feminine energy is all swirls. There are no lines. There are no angles. So when one of those energies is out of balance, the other is very ineffective. So let's say we have a feminine energy that's, you know, very flowery, is all flying all around. And we've all met people like that or been in a conversation where the conversation goes on and on and on. There's no structure for that feminine flow, that creativity, to be in balance. Likewise, if the masculine structure's out of balance, there's no container for that allowing, that permission for that divine feminine to be balanced. So where I'm looking at my pathway, you know, yes, I started out as a high school mathematics teacher, all very, again, algebraic equations, that masculine structure, so that I, as an individual, could step into my creativity, that divine feminine flow. And I'm looking at it now going, wow, how many years did you spend with the structure? And I didn't get it then, but now I'm looking back going, yes, you put the structure in so that my creativity could flow, my divine feminine could find its its balance and that place where it could go, here I am, I'm now ready to step into this bigger part of my divinity, of the voice that I am now around the world.
Was there any particular moment, epiphany, something happening in your life for you to suddenly be open to your feminine side?
Yes, actually, you know, because I don't think we actually talked about this before, Sarah, mm-hmm. the fact that I am a competitive bodybuilder.
Ah.
And for years, you know, people would look at a feminine, a woman with muscle, and there was all types of stigma. You know, you are, you're manly because you have muscle, or you must be a homosexual because you have muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So for the longest time, it's like, how do I demonstrate my femininity? And so I had to go find out, what is being feminine? How is it different that you have a female body versus being feminine? Those are not necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started asking questions, you know, what is elegance? What is beauty? What is that divine feminine? And how can I wear those? How can I embrace those? So I started a journey of asking more questions, to know myself at a higher level. But I'll be real honest with everyone. It took me a while. You know, I'm one of those people that if the universe comes along and has a message for you, and you know, it's a real soft message. And I was dumb. I was stupid. I wasn't listening. And so the feather message comes along, and you know, I looked at it and like, yeah, I'll get to you later.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little later, you know, a few years later, the 2x4 message comes.
Yes.
And, you know, I got blasted between the eyeballs, but, you know, because I'm strong, I can keep doing, I can dig down deeper and do a little bit more of what I would call hell, and didn't get the message. And then I got the Mack truck hit mm-hmm. me, and all I had left over after that Mack truck hit me was the little hood ornament. And it was at that moment that I said, okay, it's time for me to wake up to my spiritual self, to wake up to that part of, you're at a crossroads, you are not here to suck air.
Yeah.
And if you have a purpose, how do you get in touch with all that you are? So that was the start of that journey. And then along that journey, I discovered that I had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I had cervical cancer. And I had already been studying nutrition, flipping over into the naturopathy side and the nutrition side. And I remember being wheeled in to have my uterus removed and have the cancer removed. And I remember saying to my sister who was standing there, I looked her right in the eyes and I said, I'm making a commitment right here and now that when I make it to the other side of this, I dedicate my life to teaching other people how to let go of the emotions and the thoughts that create dis-ease,
yeah.
disharmony in the body. And yes, we do that energetically, and yes, we do that spiritually. And there's also the element of things you get to do in the physicality. So removing sugar, removing wheat, removing corn, the things that cause paste and glue in a body, we remove those so that the harmony within the body can find homeostasis. So that's kind of in a nutshell, the journey of going from mathematics teaching, algebraic equations, pre-calculus to, okay, here's this next path. And it took me a little bit to find my way from teaching high school mathematics. I left teaching for a while, quite a while. There's a little story behind that too. And then shifted over to nutrition. Took me, you know, a few years to get my doctorate in as a naturopath. I specialize in nutrition, and so it's bringing all that together, and then I took the next step coming back to an invitation to teach skills and tools that allow each of us to learn how to manage ourselves, to manage our energy, so that we step into this magnificent being that we are.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people, Sarah, think that we're just, you know, what we see when we look in the mirror. And that is such a minute part of the amazing spiritual beings that we are having a human experience.
Yeah. And, you know, we live life from the inside out. And, you know, I really liked that expression, they're sucking air. You know, quite a lot of us have all just sucked air at one point. It's like we're here for a purpose. We're not here just to kind of fart around. You know, we're put on this earth to do something, not just to rape and pillage and disregard the beauty and the extraordinary synchronicity and you know, the value that we see here. And I think as human beings, we've really gone so far over to a side that, you know, of cynicism and of selfism and of disbelief and discontent and distrust and this and that, that I think this is why we're seeing such a rampage of ill health. Never mind the fact the foods we're eating, of course, the poison is GMO. That's another topic altogether. But, you know, the fact that we've become lazy in the way that we eat and not cooking for ourselves, not putting the energy into the food that we cook, not eating the food in the right energy or in the right mindset, looking for everything to be a quick fix, a downloadable app.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't get to this mess overnight, and we're not going to undo this mess overnight, but we have to change our attitude and our perception and open up to that universe to guide us forwards, because clearly we as just ordinary linear human beings haven't got the message. We have to be divinely brought forward.
Well, I believe, absolutely, when you are ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes.
When you literally are ready to take ownership and responsibility for your health and well-being, and I mean on all levels, your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health and well-being, when you are ready, your teacher will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you watched a movie called The Color Purple.
Yes.
This was a movie that came out. There is a line in The Color Purple, and I highly recommend everyone watch this movie. It's an amazing movie. But there's a line in this movie that says, I think it pisses God off when we walk by the color purple and we don't notice.
Mm-hmm.
And so being in present moment,
yes,
the beauty that we have around us, and I know you said it's raining in Vancouver today, but even within the rain, there's beauty within the rain.
There's things
because
growing.
That beauty, everything's being nurtured.
Yes.
Everything's is taking a rest. It's taking a rest and it's drinking and it's saying, look, here's this water element that's nourishing me. So when the sun comes out, which is going to in a few days, the sun comes out and all of a sudden all of that nurturing that happened in the rain can start growing and popping and blooming so that we can all step into that present moment right here, present moment. And go, what is here? What's the possibility for me right here, right now, in this moment? Where's my purple? Where's my flower that I can simply be in harmony, be in this moment in gratitude and appreciation? And as you said, step into that next moment.
It seems to be that spring, which is synonymous with new growth and new birth, always seems to be the new birth of our own lives. You know, we've come out of cocoon of the winter, where that was all kind of, you know, really kind of a lot of it protective, you know, looking at your lives because you've got the time to do so. You're in cocooning and snuggling and keeping warm. And now spring has come and we start shedding our layers in so many ways. And, you know, the warmth kiss of the sun and the breeze as, you know, rustles through your hair. And as you see the trees come alive and all the plants grow and the birds sing, you know, it is a wonderful time to get in touch with your sensory, to open up all those senses and experience that rebirth with nature and not be afraid to it. You know, take the goggles off and just be present in that new birth,
yes,
and allow it to be your new birth as well.
Yes.
Whatever.
And
you
take
know,
your
don't
shoes off, not just the goggles.
Yeah, exactly.
Take the shoes off,
feel
too.
The
you know, take your shoes off. Walk on the Earth Mother. Walk in the grass.
Yeah.
Walk on that sand, you know, wherever you are in the world. Walk on our Earth Mother and take the goggles off. Be in your rebirth.
And don't,
because
yeah,
this is,
well, this,
we're
this
at a time right now of great change, great change, and we can be at choice, and we can choose the old, you know, that habit that we always have on to, that's a choice. Or we can look at all the possibility, the brand new birth, the new ideas, the new way of being, the new friend that's coming in, the new opportunity, the doorway opened up, all of those possibilities, and ask ourselves, which one of these possibilities that are right here in front of me right now would I like to try on? And does it work for me? Does it bring me joy? Does it uplift my heart? Does it make my heart soar? Does it allow me to grow? Does it allow me to take a risk? Does it put me in touch with my higher self, with my soul? And if those answers are yes, take a step forward. Take another step forward. If those answers are no, it's time to let it go. It's time to walk down a different path.
Yeah. Give yourself permission.
Absolutely permission.
Yeah.
Absolutely permission.
Yeah.
You know, permission and choice are, we're in fourth dimension level of consciousness right now, moving into five and six, and choice, permission, present moment, that's a higher level. That's a fourth dimensional level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And don't you find that, I mean, as you said, you had to wait. That, you know, no soft breeze was going to wake you up, you know, not even a gale. You know, it took the 2x4 to get you there, right? But do you
I asked one time, why is that it takes me such a long time to get something? Why is that for me? Because my visions would be very, very graphic, very brutal. And I'm like, why did this have to happen? Why did it have to be so extreme for me to get it? And the really soft reply that came by was, you weren't listening.
Yes.
But I think you didn't hear the whisper.
There's something else there, too, though. You know, obviously, you've been doing this for quite a few years now. And if you look at the time frame, many of us, I've always been a spiritual counselor. I was born this way. So for me, it was I lived in a world that just didn't get me, didn't hear me, didn't see me. And then for a while, I retreated from this world altogether. Mm-hmm. But when I came back, and my awakening was around about the mid-90s, and a lot of people at that time woke up, the 2x4s, catastrophic things happening in their lives. But we've become those teachers, those leaders, those guiders now that are meet and greeting the people that are crossing the bridge, that are waking up. They know something's going on, that they're aware of the senses. They're becoming far more aware of the things that are happening in the world. They're putting out those intolerant vibrations. They're sending out those loving vibrations and becoming more accountable for life instead of just passing the buck. And we had to go through that first in order to be there when they've crossed this bridge, to help them over to that next phase in their lives. So I think for the people today, I don't think they have to go through the 2x4s or the gales.
Nope, they don't.
There.
They don't, because there's so many of us that we were I'm going to say we were the bulldozer. You know, when you have a snow plow, do you guys get snow up there?
Oh yeah, but not so much in Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm laughing, right? But you know when a snow plow is out on the road and they have that it looks like a V in front of the plow, and it's double plowing, right? So there are so many of us that we're right at the edge of the edge of the edge of the edge. We agreed, me and you and others, we agreed to be the tip of the tip of that bulldozer, the snow plow, plowing the way forward, breaking the ice out, standing in front of the darkness. We agreed to do that. We built the bridge so that all of those behind us can literally just walk across the bridge. You do not have to struggle anymore.
Exactly. But it's quite wonderful, you know, as guiders, leaders, teachers, whatever we are, you know, it is so wonderful to actually see people getting it so much faster, embracing it so much faster, being hungry for it.
And asking for it.
Asking for it, giving themselves permission to receive it.
Yes.
Placing a value on themselves, seeking love instead of hate, wanting the tools to let go in life, and basically quintessentially taking that responsibility over their own lives and realizing my discontent is a coat I wear. If I don't like my life, I need to take this coat off and seek something that makes me live in purpose and value and liberty of my own choices. And that is the first step, isn't it? That the choice to
that
give yourself
claiming
permission.
Ownership.
Yeah.
Yes, claiming ownership, taking responsibility, and asking. And as a naturopath, that was one of the biggest lessons for me to learn. Is, yes, I have all of this information. Yes, I have this huge skill set that, wow, I could probably talk your ear off till you're, you know, over there crying in the corner because it's like, wait, I didn't want all that information. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But recognizing I could leave a lot of information on the table, but it's not of value to that person until they ask for it. And when they say, can you give me information on how to learn to love myself? Can you show me the way to beauty and validation and kindness and loving myself? Can you show me that? Where's that pathway to that? Mm-hmm. They're asking, and then here's the tool. Here's the pathway. I'm gonna guide you down this garden and show you the fairies and show you the gnomes and here's the angels. Let's weave this way, whatever you can have. Here's this beautiful garden where birth is, where new is, and to try on these vibrations of what does it feel like in your body to literally feel the vibration of being certain.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
What does that feel like in your body?
Yeah.
So, you know, like everyone who's listening to this right now, can you just be certain? Like, did you brush your teeth this morning? Are you certain you did that?
Yeah.
Are you certain you put your socks on? And what does that feel like in the body? And so we try on words like certainty, capable, I'm capable, and a big, powerful word that I teach in my workshops and my classes is the word seniority. And seniority doesn't mean I'm old, you know, I'm a generation, I will have wisdom, but that's not the vibration we're going for here. Seniority, where I'm asking everyone to try the vibration on, is I am senior in my body. I am the commander in chief here. My opinion is the only one that matters.
Yeah.
Taking seniority of that path, that belief, that action. Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned earlier, you know, there's a path that I'm sure each of us have walked as we're growing. Is it's not my problem. It's not my fault. I want to be the victim. Well, that's one side of the coin. And I think we all walk that until we take ownership. And then we look at the other side and go, wow, I chose that lesson so I could learn how to stand on my own 2 feet. I chose that lesson so I could learn how to stand in my divine feminine masculine essence. I chose that lesson so I could learn how to set boundaries on how to learn to honor myself. So rather than wearing the coat of victim, we flip it over and we take ownership and we stand in empowerment. We stand in our seniority and we validate ourselves. We give ourselves permission. Again, that word keeps coming up,
yeah.
Permission and validation. We're going to embrace those words so that we can take another step forward in our divinity, in our magnificence. That word just keeps, when I say that word, it's like you can feel it bubbling up through the body.
Yeah.
I am magnificent. So if you're listening right now, shout it out in room. I am magnificent. What does that feel like when you declare that about yourself? I am capable. I am certain. I am magnificent. You can feel that yes vibration, yes. That
you can't get a negative vibration from it. You just
can't. No,
you know,
no.
You know, from extraordinary, and magnificent and stupendous. You know, these words all have.
Ooh, I like that one.
Have
stupendous.
You know, it's a lovely word, isn't it? You know, and if you can't think of a word, go supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You know,
there you go.
Put some vibration to it. But there's a point I want to go back to. You as a nutritionist to understand, and what people need to understand, they need to do in their own psyche as well. You know that when somebody is so full of toxicity in their body, that before a nutrient is going to help them, they have to detox the body. And when they've detoxed the body, then the nutrients that you give them to replenish their body will have a chance to work. But they can't really work if the toxicity in the body is fighting it so much. It's the It's the same with the psyche, isn't it? It's the same with our minds. If we're not willing to take that old coat off, if we're not willing to look at those old beliefs, and sometimes those beliefs have been imposed on us for generations. For lifetimes.
Generations, lifetimes.
Exactly.
Lifetime.
I had 172 lifetimes removed from me of a pattern that was put on
me. The pattern, the imprinting. And now, I mean, we're in an era, we're in the golden age where it is possible. It is possible now that we're in the higher dimensions of thought. It is very possible to remove, permanently remove those imprintings.
Yes.
Permanently remove. So habit says I'm going to go back to being depressed or being hateful or being angry or those lower vibration words are habits. And when we shift that, go in and whoever you're working with, you know, if you want to work with me, whoever you choose to say, okay, could you help me, show me where I am holding old energy in my mental body. Where am I holding all of the and mental stuff? Thoughts are very electric. They have a big charge on them. And where am I holding the emotions? Emotions are magnetic. They stick. They don't come one at a time. So if I'm usually angry, there's more to it, and that self-esteem gets driven down in the invalidation, the lack of permission, the lack of control, lack. All of those stick to each other. So we look at the bodies, the energetic field, and shift that energy out. Remove those imprintings. Because where we're going, you can't take your baggage with you.
No, doesn't belong.
You can't take the dead horse with you. It's time right now. It is time for all of us, each one of us, to step into our magnificence, to step into our purpose as a soul in a body. It's time.
And to commit to it. You know, I'm a firm believer that it takes 8 positives to undo 1 negative. So if you have a negative thought come up, you've now got to create 8 positives to undo that 1 negative. If you make that a pattern in your life, it's like the old rubber band on the wrist. I have a negative thought, snap that rubber band. You know, the body is going to associate that negative thought with pain and not want to go there. Put some positive thoughts in there and give yourself a nice touch, and it will associate with that. There's so many things that we can do to change that thought pattern. And, you know, we can't just go, okay, I'm going to be positive, and ignore that negative there. You haven't dealt with it. You need to understand, why was that dialogue there? Was it imposed on you? Is it just a lifetime pattern? Is it there underlining something you haven't dealt with? And you're going to have to deal with that. I'm sorry, folks. There is no quick fix. You're going to have to deal with the old garbage so that you don't unwillingly take it forward. It isn't just a question, I'm going to be positive today, and all the negativity will go away. I'm going to be positive how I approach my negativity, but I understand that negativity is still there, systemic in my body, like a cell structure in my body that needs to be deleted. And I need to understand where it comes from so I know what to do with it. So we have to understand there is work ahead of us.
There is work, and the work can be enjoyable.
Yes.
However, it is a process. I think one of the great ways to release old energy is through laughter.
Mm.
And, you know, when we get to a point where we know, like, I'm letting go of a lot of pain right now, but through laughter and being around people who are positive, and I absolutely agree with you, there's work to be done, and there are pathways, there are structures that are in place. So there are many teachers around the world that are teaching now. They're saying, I have a message. I have a pathway here. Am I what you're looking for? Is the message I have what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for me, I attract people who are absolutely ready to take the next step, whether it's with nutrition or whether it's on their spiritual path. And so, you know.
And those are both hand in hand anyway, aren't they?
They go hand in hand. They absolutely go hand in hand. However, you know, when I'm doing a healing session, I just start wherever the person is, wherever they're asking for help, you know, for look at this with me. Help me release this piece. And they may come in wanting, you know, like the size of an orange of release. But what they want with is a whole house full of stuff that got let go of. So when we're in the place of have no expectation, but allow everything. When you want to heal, when you say, I'm ready to take this next step, I am ready to let go of all of the old programming, the old imprinting in my physical body, my mental body, my emotional body, my spiritual body, when I'm ready to let that go right here, right now, again, the teacher or the healer will step in front of you. Take advantage of it.
Yes.
Sign up. Get your butt in the chair. Take the next step to allowing your lower patterns of imprinting, what I call the third dimensional thought form, that density, that where there was no permission, that duality of right, wrong, good, bad. You know, the doorway to that was closed in 2012.
Yes, exactly. So all you're doing is just carrying obsolete data with you. It's like an old computer. I mean, our computers change. The moment you've bought it, it's already obsolete.
And do you remember floppy disks?
Oh, God. I mean, do you remember computers used to be an entire block?
A block. You know, the crate computer was this cute thing. And, you know, I was having a chat with a gentleman the other day, and he was mentioning floppy disks.
Exactly.
And I had to giggle.
Yep.
Because you can't even access the data anymore.
Right. Well, don't you remember 8-tracks?
Eight-track tapes, obsolete.
Exactly.
However, many, many of us are still holding the imprints of the 8-track tape, floppy disk, the crate computers, all those thoughts, all those emotions, and you know what? They're not even ours.
Exactly.
They were from our mom, our dad, our brother, our teacher, our preacher.
Society at the time. Yeah.
Society exactly. at the time.
And you know,
it's the dead horse. It's time to let go of the dead horse.
And also stop buying into the drama of life, the CNN effect. You know, let's understand that the humans that think that control this planet, that are right now because we've given the empowerment to them, and we need to take back that power by giving it to ourselves and extending it to our communities, and stop giving it to the towers. We allow them to dictate our progress because they keep throwing fear at us. They keep throwing panic at us. They keep throwing things at us that are going to keep us down, keep us sheeple. But if you keep picking up that fear, you keep picking up that panic, you keep picking up that sensational belief of something catastrophic is about to happen, that's your ownership.
Right. And you chose, I'm going to put this in very key verbiage here, in present moment, when you took a breath, when we take a breath, we are in present moment. And in present moment, we are at choice.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to choose right now in present moment to go to fear where there is no permission, there's no validation? Been there, done that, have the T-shirt in every size,
yes.
Right? Or in present moment, am I going to choose all this possibility, all of it? There are so many different possibilities that are being put on the table right now. Can I unplug my ears from the consciousness, from the social media, from the, I think you mentioned CNN.
Yes.
Turn it off. Unplug.
Go.
Ask a friend to go with you to a garden and smell the flowers.
Go for
Look
a
at
walk.
The beauty.
Yeah.
Be in present moment and choose. Here's the possibility. This happens with people wanting a job all the time. Mm-hmm. I had a gal sitting in front of me the other day that she says, I need this new job. And yet how she was putting out her energy was from a place of desperation.
Yeah.
She didn't want that particular job. It didn't give her the financial stability she was looking for, but in desperation, old imprint, old pattern. So what we did is we went into her chakra systems and cleaned out the survival, cleaned out all of that communication, the blockages in the body on an energetic level, so that now when new opportunity is put in front of her, will this new position offer you growth, would allow you to take a risk, would allow you to have financial freedom and stability? Will this new position give you honor and respect and dignity in your workplace?
Purpose. Mm-hmm.
Different way of being, right,
yeah,
than that place of desperation,
yeah,
low vibration.
And well, remember the old thing, low expectations.
Oh,
and
yes,
when we get desperate and we need something as opposed to want something, you know, if we put the desire and the passion, you know, you have a good vibration. When we put, I need, I'm desperate, then, you know, anything can get tossed at you. You know, my mum taught me a wonderful, valuable lesson, but it took me so many years to really register what she was saying. The value you place on yourself is the value that people will take you for.
Yes.
If you sell yourself short, believe me, they're going to buy you cheap. And
yes, so that place, remember when we had everybody, again, everybody listening, right now, in your own room, I am. And whatever you follow that by is what your,
yes,
vibration is going to be at. I am beautiful. I am smart. I am capable. I am senior in my body. I am magnificent.
I
am valuable.
Yeah, exactly. Be the words. And you know what? Get off this thing about I'm being egotistical if I call myself these things. No, you're being in ownership and in celebration of who you are.
You're stepping into your higher self.
Yeah.
Your higher self isn't this little tiny wormy, you know, let's sit on the floor, cry, and eat worms. That's,
yeah,
not who you are.
Yeah.
So let's take the dead horse off.
Yes.
Let's let the maggots be on the dead horse. Drop the reins.
And, you know,
walk
away. It's okay to have that positive ego about yourself, the one that,
absolutely,
serves you,
very healthy,
and serves your community. Not the ego that's based from insecurity and is at the expense of someone,
no,
else. You know which those are.
No, this is ownership of self.
Yeah.
This is literally standing up for yourself, standing in your self-esteem, your self-worth.
Yeah. Self-purpose.
Vibrating your self-purpose, your self-worth, that when you can find, when each of us can find that vibration that says, I like me.
Mm-hmm.
I like me. Feel this. If everyone says, like five times now, I like me, 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 you can feel the yes, the vibration,
yes,
lifting up in the room.
Yes.
Now, try this one. I like me, but, you know, my hair's not long enough.
Yeah.
I like me, but, I like me, but, that but starts dropping that vibration back down the floor.
It does. And, you
so,
know, you talked about friends, being around people. Now, if you speak this to your mirror, and I'm all having conversations with your mirror, reflect back. You know, are you being in earnest? Are you being true? You know, your eyes will tell you if you're being truthful with yourself.
Right.
And, you know, have a good conversation with yourself. Now, practice it, repeat it. It's continual. It's something you have to do, like daily affirmations and daily meditations, daily whatever. You have to invest in yourself daily. You have to nourish yourself verbally and spiritually and vibrationally daily. Now make sure that the people you have around you
also invest in themselves.
Exactly. Now a man coming together.
Yes.
And all,
yes,
of you speaking together in celebration of each other,
yes,
in value,
love
of
it,
each other. And just watch how what music you make, what harmony you make,
yes,
together. I want to,
yes,
go back to something down to the common denominator here, like a basic on the nutritional. I know that, A, through my own self, kind of like a clinical depression. So I know that if I'm not getting the right nutrients in me, my anxiety and my depression will cut off, and it doesn't matter how spiritually or mentally or anything or vibrationally I look at it. I can't overcome it because the chemistry of my body is out of whack. And I know for a lot of people it's like, but I want to do that and I can't. I'm in apathy, or I'm in exhaustion. I just don't know what's holding me back. And it's to understand that you do sometimes have to change that chemistry of the body and nourish the body. And then as you nourish the body, it will want to nourish the spirit and the mind. It will want to grow healthy completely. But, you know, that understand if you're having that hand on your chest that keeps pushing you back when you're trying to move forward. Yes, it maybe can be some old beliefs that you still have to let go of. But also it can be simply the chemistry in your body needs to be changed.
Yes.
Or detoxification or,
right,
nutrient. So, you know, you being both, you really are giving people the yin and yang of what they need in order to move forward.
Thank you.
Nice balance.
a lot of balance. And we have this human body, and it's time to take care of it, absolutely take care of it. And from a nutrition perspective, it's like, what are the foods that give you their higher vibration? You know, we were just talking about higher vibration, investing in myself emotionally, investing in myself, loving myself, being able to, that daily, I love you, Nadine. I really, really love you. That's that message you give to yourself. You look in your eyes. I love you, Sarah. I really, really love you. Powerful words you give to yourself.
Yes.
And it's not just the message when I'm looking in my own eyes. Every bite I take lets me know if I'm a stand for my health and well-being, or am I a stand for the destruction, the chaos, the disharmony in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick the food. You can look right at them, and you know when you're looking at that food, let's stop playing games with ourselves. The chocolate brownie is not a higher vibration food. All right?
It's an emotional comfort.
It's a habit.
Yeah.
It's a habit that feeds, and, you know, a lot of people never like to hear this when I say this, but you know what? I'm here for a purpose today, and my intention is that I reach somebody's heart today.
Yes.
And that whoever hears this says, I want to take another step. And I absolutely believe from the bottom of my heart, there is nothing about sugar that uplifts you, nurtures you, nourishes you, and allows you to take a step forward. There is nothing about sugar that helps you on your path. It is a destroyer. It destroys your emotions. It destroys your thought process. It shortwires your system. And you don't get that same response when you eat green vegetables. You know, when you're sitting here having a lovely salad, a high vibration food, when you're having a beautiful piece of fresh fruit, you can feel the uptake of the nutrients in the body. And you're very right, Sarah, earlier when you said, I can put a nice piece of fruit in and it's going to do really wonderful things for me. I also have got to, at the same time, stop putting in my body what is harming it.
Yeah.
And I've got to get the stuff that's impacted in the colon.
Yeah.
Got to get it out. And we get that out by detoxing, but by cleaning the liver out. And if you want, we can have another whole conversation about a healthy colon, you know, cleaning, doing that detox. I'll tell everyone, if you really want to start having a healthy liver, start to put lemons on things. Put lemon in your, like, anytime you combine lemon with olive oil, clean your liver. So an example, let's say I'm making fish or I'm making a salad dressing. If you were to take 2 tablespoons of olive oil with 2 tablespoons of pure lemon juice and mix those two together, you know, you can put a little, you know, pepper in there if you want, but that combination of olive oil and lemon juice equal to drink it down, put it on your salad, put on your fish or chicken, whatever you're eating, it will go right to your liver and release your liver.
And, you know, for all these people that are on drugs that are destroying their liver, you know, meant to be curing one thing, but in the meantime, you know, weakening the liver, if you don't cure your liver, it doesn't matter what they're giving you for anything else. Your body is kaput anyway. You know, I have actually done shows on liver, kidneys, and colon, because I do believe that if we don't keep those clean, the rest of the body falls to pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I started noticing is with almost, I would say, 99.99% of the people who sit in front of me for a healing session, at some point in their healing session, we have a grounding cord on their liver to help the liver and the pancreas, those two, liver and pancreas, to help them shed, let them release the sugars of the body, let them receive the toxins in the body energetically while we're doing other things in the body, just to let the toxins go.
Yes. On all levels of your life.
All levels.
That's people in your life. That's your job in your life. That's the way you look at yourself. It's, you know, where you live. It's the people you've got around you. It's what you eat. It's everything. Have a damn good spring clean. And clean out everything that does not serve you.
You know, can I put something on the table here?
Yes.
'Cause I think it's really lovely when people say, well, it's easy for you because you're a naturopath.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for you. And, you know, I gotta tell you a little bit more of the family history here. I come from a line of really unhealthy people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of toxicity in the family with mental, emotional, physical abuse. And I believe that most of that was the structure for the cancer that I pulled, that it
Absolutely.
Was all disharmonic thoughts and emotions that were in my body, and I manifested it as cancer. But at the same time, or in lieu of this, is, you know, there's obesity in the line, and it's like I made a personal choice. That's not a pathway I want to walk. And so, again, taking that ownership for myself, but there was something of a track here that I wanted to share is I'm a healer today. Today I absolutely 100% claim and announce I am a gifted healer. But it wasn't always that way.
Yeah. But that's the reason
it
why
wasn't
you do
that way.
Yourself, because you know the struggles and the challenges that you've had. Right?
Exactly.
So in knowing that,
exactly.
You know that that's the, you know, the reason why you've had to take this journey and put that value upon yourself. You know, I've got a whole lot of health issues, and I come from a family of cancer and heart disease. And, you know, for me it was, I know I'm never going that way. That's, you know, whatever I've got is irritating, and it's, but I will manage it. I will never go that way of the cancer or, you know, the heart disease. And I've got family that feed their disease. They feed their disease daily.
Right, with thought, with emotion, and
yeah.
with food.
Yes.
With food, absolutely. All
and
three of them.
You cannot talk to them about alternative nutrition or a different thought process because their doctor's got them so paralyzed.
Well, and they're not asking right now. They haven't had the, you know, maybe they've had the whisper. Remember that feather we were talking about
yes.
earlier? The feather's probably come. The 2x4's probably already
yeah.
come. However, it wasn't powerful enough for where they are in their personal path. But I guarantee before they leave their physical body, the Mack truck is going to hit.
Well, my mom is 94. I'm going home soon to say goodbye to her. And at this point, her body is completely and utterly deteriorating. Mm. And there was a side of her that would believe. I mean, she's a reader. She, you know, has the sensory gift. And when we were together, we'd go on holiday together, we would laugh, we would have fun. With my brother, there were things that they did together that they would have fun. But unfortunately, she's around vibrations that love drama. And when they play this drama button, and she was a dramatic actress, when they play this drama button, she responds to it. She
sure.
doesn't know how not to respond to it. And her life has been full of bitterness
mm-hmm.
and discontent for not accomplishing what she wanted to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
although she's done a great deal more than anybody else in her own generation.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of celebrating that, it's all about who did her wrong. And, you know, I say to her, you've got to clean that out before you go. You have to let go of that because you're going to take this over into the next lifetime. And that poor sucker that's going to be born with your input is going to get stuck with that vibration. So
let's, for everyone listening, let's use this as a learning tool. If you resonated with what Sarah just said, is here's a demonstration of someone. And it may be that you are playing that out yourself, that you enjoy the drama. Here's what I offer is to be able to teach you skills, tools that allow you to manage yourself and to stop reacting, to start living your life from choice so that you are no longer affected of the drama. You take a step back. You manage your own spiritual well-being. You manage your thought. You manage your emotion so that in the moment, you are taking that next step in choice.
And, you know, I think when we understand that the control we want over our own lives is quintessentially in action, we can control our action, we can control our thoughts, but we can't control our lives because that divine has a path for us. And all we have to do is walk that in trust, but we can control on how we are going to respond to life and make that choice.
And the next step, that next step I'm going to take.
Would you?
So you bring a lovely thing up of people who are transitioning out of life. You know, the end of life process, and I'm very much in gratitude to the people that I've actually got to work with to help them clean up their energy in end-of-life transition. And it is absolutely astonishing when that spirit is willing to say, you know, this imprint is not working for me anymore.
Right.
And I want to clean this karma up. I want to clean all of this imprinting up and clean it out so I never repeat this again. All of that is possible. All of that is possible. And so, you know, working with someone, whether they're ready to end their life, you know, that end-of-life transition, or, you know, maybe they're 30, 40, wherever you are in your path, start wherever you are. Start today.
Yeah. End a chapter of your life, be it the end of your life or ending a chapter.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Invest in your spiritual path. And if mom, dad, brother, whoever is ready for that end-of-life transition, you know, seek out, if you're interested, there are many of us who do this skill set to help them remove the blocks, remove the imprints, to clean the pathway all the way home so that they have a smooth transition in their end-of-life experience that is in grace.
We want them to go in peace. We want them to go in peace. We want people to pass over in
peace.
They can't do that if they're taking the hurricane with them.
Yes, exactly. I like that. Can't take the hurricane. I'm going to use that. Can I steal that with my
You may. Yes, please do.
Can't take the hurricane. I like that.
And so many do, because, you know, they die in bitterness. And, you know, there's some stuff that's happened to people in life that's horrific. And, yes, it will leave scars. Yes, there'll be certain things that will trigger those emotions. But it's having those tools ready to know when those things are being triggered, what are you going to do to manage them? We're not saying we're going to erase
and
every
those
memory.
Things, but those things that happened, that's not you. There are things that happen. There are events that happen. But I'm going to repeat this. You are big. You are significant. And you are here on this earth, right here, right now, today, because of you have said, I want to be part of this beautiful unfolding of this golden age. I have a purpose. It's time. Everyone, it's time to manage your thoughts, manage your emotions, manage your energy so that you step fully into the spiritual being that you are. Living in a conscious way, to consciously choosing every step you're walking forward, to manage your thought, manage your emotion in this higher vibration. And when you master this higher vibration, the universe looks at you and says, I'm going to match that vibration where that person is sitting right now, and I'm going to give them more of that higher vibration.
Exactly.
Higher vibration attracts higher vibration.
You're giving the universe mission.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Say yes to my yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's look at it this way. If you're amongst people that are all doom and gloom and misery, what does it do? It pulls you down. You feel like you're literally being sucked into quicksand. And all you want to do is get the hell out of there. Now you're amongst people that just find the simple pleasures in life. You know, something funny that they can giggle about, or sharing a great story. Look at what happens when we see things even on Facebook that, you know, are sad and miserable. And especially when it comes to, like, cruelty towards animals and children. And, you know, that's one that really get me. And, you know, a show I've done recently is called Intolerant Vibrations. People think that, just send love out to the victims, or just send love out to the people and they will stop doing it. Just as you need to set a boundary within yourself, a barrier that people cannot penetrate, you cannot come in and shatter my positivity. You cannot come into my world and bring your contamination. You need a barrier there. And that barrier is those intolerant vibrations, the ones that just let you know in tonage. When you're inviting, everything is uplifting, your voice is soft, you're welcoming everybody in. When you're intolerant, there's a different tone, there's a different vibration. I will not tolerate that behavior towards me. We could send that vibration out to those poor victims out there that are at the hands of these people that don't have a conscience. They cannot have a conscience and do what they do, living the human body, but they're not living the human being spirit. They haven't welcomed spirit into their life or good vibrations. If we send out those intolerant vibrations, maybe they will feel that. Somewhere along the line, hopefully, they will question what they're doing. But until the human being is ready to embrace their consciousness, their spirit, we're not going to grow. And that comes down to us. It comes down to us.
Have we talked about the levels of consciousness?
No, but let's do so, because I've decided this show is going for an hour and a half.
Lovely. Lovely. So thank you. This is really lovely. So levels of consciousness, the first level, and this is where many people have played, you know, this level of consciousness. And it sounds like this. I'm going to put it two different ways. I'm unconscious of being unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I literally have my head in the sand. Another way of hearing that is, I don't know what it is I don't know. Okay, I'm clueless.
Exactly.
And every one of us walked in that level. We all walked there. Then we shifted to the next level of consciousness. And that level of consciousness is, I know what it is I don't know. I'm conscious of being unconscious. Okay? So an example of that is, when I was 13, I drove a Volkswagen Beetle, a little bug car, and they're so easy. You opened up the back of the car, and you saw the distributor cap where the spark plugs are. You saw the dipstick for oil. You could literally reach into the oil filter, pull the oil filter out, change your oil. The new cars that are out right now, they're all electronic. I can lift up the hood to my Nissan Maxima, and I'm very, very conscious. I have no clue what I'm looking at.
Yes.
Get it?
Yes.
I have no clue what I'm looking at. Same thing goes with our consciousness. I'm conscious of being unconscious. So one of the lovely things is, when I teach tools, somebody comes in and it's been a week from class, and they go, you know, I didn't use my tools. I get excited because they were conscious.
Yes.
That they didn't use the tool they had. Where before, they didn't even know they had a tool. Now they're conscious of being unconscious.
Yeah.
Okay?
Excellent.
Okay, next level of consciousness is, I don't know what it is I do know. I'm unconscious of where I am conscious. As we wake up as a spiritual being, we are unconscious of how powerful we are, how magnificent we are, how big we are, how significant we are. Until we rewire ourselves and change that frequency where we're talking to our higher self, talking to the bigger part of us, and dial into that, we don't know the lights that are available to us.
Yeah.
We don't know the relationship we can have with the angelic kingdom or the mineral kingdom or the animal kingdom. We don't know that yet. But as we wake up, all of that is possible for us. Everything's possible for us. And as we wake up and we start looking at, wow, here's this, the heavenly spheres where we can walk in, and the temple of purification that we can experience. There's all this wonderful violet flame that we can billow around ourselves to purify and cleanse and step into this next moment. That's when we step into, I am aware of being aware. I am conscious of being conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe each and every one of us are being called to cross the bridge and stand in, I am aware of being aware. And standing in all of your seniority, all of your command, all of your capableness, and simply declaring, I am that I am. Every one of us.
Yes. And then it will go to be, I will be what I'm meant to be. You know, people always like, but what am I here for? You know, what am I meant to do? I've done this all my life. What am I meant to do now? And when you are living in that awareness of your consciousness, you start receiving those messages of what you're really here for. And they just come to you with such clarity. You used the word earlier. I call it no doubt, the no doubt effect, the knowingness. When you just simply know what you need to know at the time you need to know it.
I'm certain. I have that certainty.
Yes.
And I stand in that certainty.
Yeah.
So you opened this lovely pathway to when you enter your sacred heart. I call it the sanctuary of the pink diamond. When you enter your sanctuary, your sacred heart, there's an opportunity to merge with your soul. And when you merge with your soul, from that point forward, you and your soul, your merged self, start operating your bodies, the mental, emotional, physical. You start operating those bodies from the consciousness of the soul, that higher part of you that has purpose. You start operating you from the consciousness of that soul,
the
that is aware
intellect.
Of being aware.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that divine intellect, isn't it? It's where the universe speaks to us. It's where we get our information. And it resonates with our heart in the understanding and that passion and that connection. And it gives it to our spirit now to go into action. And then it goes to our mind, which simply knows what it needs to do at that time that it needs to know it needs to do it. And there is
and
no
it's
doubt.
Effortless.
And it's certain. It's just knowingness. You're certain of it. You don't need to validate or clarify. There is no doubt. You are in your truth. You are your divine truth. And you know what you need to do at that time.
And you notice that when you are standing in your truth of who you are, in that command, in that certainty, everything flows in ease.
Mm-hmm.
It's effortless. There's a fluidity to it. There's a balance to it. There's that stability. And that brings us back to that masculine and feminine that we talked earlier, that when the masculine and feminine are in balance, there's the stability, the structure, the lines, the angles that provide the structure for the feminine flow, the creativity, the allowing, the permission. All of that can now take that step forward in freedom, in ease.
In permission.
In stability. Mm-hmm. In permission. Big, huge.
Yeah.
People, can you hear this? Permission. Stand in choice. You stand in that place of, I am that I am. In self-worth, you have permission to be all that you are. You are not a little being.
No. And the bigger we are, the grander we are, the more excellent and magnificent we are, the more our cup runneth over.
Ooh,
and now it pours over to everybody else. And you know,
everyone
become,
you touch.
You become a wonderful, good vibration for everybody else. The show's music is Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys.
And oh, we should start playing that. Yeah, there you go.
And that's the thing, is that we become the good vibrations in our own life. And what you are when you get around people, you attract people to that frequency. You've got people on the same wavelength. You start traveling in packs together in those vibrations, and you resonate around the world, around the universe. And we are capable of so much healing, so much unity, so much gathering, so many possibilities, so many opportunities, if only we learn to resonate in that trust and that faith and that belief and in that frequency. We are the answer to all that ails us. We always have been.
Yes. I have everything I need within me to heal myself. Everything within me to heal myself. And part of that is I'm going to merge my soul. I'm going to call my soul in, merge with my soul so that I have that connection again, that marriage, that mirroring, that enmeshment. I literally have my hands together and I'm allowing my fingers to kind of dance with each other from the left hand to the right hand, that enmeshment of my soul and I operating me, the body, the soul body, from the consciousness of the soul. And as you own yourself, you are the light on the candle. And when you own your light, when you own your love of yourself, when you own that higher vibration, and giving yourself permission to shine for all the world to see, you step into a room and your light overshines the darkness that was in the room.
Exactly.
You overlight the darkness in the room. And all of a sudden, you're standing there being that beautiful, bright light.
That beacon.
The beacon. And people come up to you because they just want to stand in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
They want what you have. And you open the door for them.
Yes.
That it starts with you looking in that mirror. I love you. I really, really love you.
And that's important. You know, we haven't as human beings been given the permission to love ourselves. We haven't been given permission to place value upon ourselves. It's always been, we've always taught to sacrifice ourselves for everyone else. Then the other side of the mouth is saying, but if you do not achieve these high expectations, you're a failure. And constantly we've been getting these mixed messages. Don't think too highly of yourself, but at the same time, be a high achiever. And, you know, it's, and that achievement, of course, is based in the dollar. And the dollar has replaced value of human beings. Mm. And that has to be erased immediately. I've got nothing against money. I intend to make a great deal of it. It's what I do with that money that counts. It's what I do with that money and how it generates opportunities for others that counts. Be rich. What do you do with your riches? And remember, being rich is never going to replace enrichment between your mind, body, and soul.
Mm.
I'm glad that you emphasize so much on the soul, and we're going to get to your soul app in a moment. I speak to people all the time, and they're constantly going on about the heart and the spirit, and I constantly say to them, but where is the soul? The soul, I feel, is around the navel area. It's that good instinct. You know what? I know it's right. Well, how do you know? I don't know. I don't need to know. I just know it's right. It's that universal intellect that comes into the soul, that knowledge that then resonates with the heart and the spirit and the mind. And too many people think purely from the head, over intellectualize, overstudy, overthink. And you cannot have pure thought just with the head. If you want to be pure in your thought, you have to have the soul, heart, and spirit in this conversation, because then you truly understand the whole story.
So you brought this concept up of the what I call the rational mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the rational mind is that chatterbox. You know,
yes.
It's the, did I do it right? Did I do it good? It should be this way. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Rational mind. And, you know, the rational mind has two jobs. One job is to make you fit in. And the other job is to make you feel safe. It was never meant to be the commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
We have put it in that place, but it's never meant to be in that place. So one of the tools I teach in my tools workshop is what's called the center of your head. And the only person that should be in the center of your head is you. So would you like to play?
Yes.
Would you like to find out where that is?
Definitely.
Okay, so everyone, you get to play too. So if you would take your left hand and your right hand and hold them up like your index finger is pointing towards the ceiling. Now would you take those fingers and put them on your temples? And now raise your elbows so that your fingers are now pointing directly at your skull. Would you take a magic marker and would you connect with your imagination, would you connect your left pointer finger, draw a line from that through your brain, through the head, to your right finger? Now, take your fingers off your temples, rotate them around 90 degrees, so that you have a finger in the front of your head, back of your head. And again, take your magic marker. Would you draw a line between that front of that head to the back of the head? Okay, now take your hands down. And again, would you draw that line from the left point to the right point, from the front point to the back point, right where those two lines intersect? Would you be there now? What you might notice is a refocusing, a quieting, a pulling in of your awareness. The only person that should be, only consciousness that should be in the center of your head is you. So if there's anyone else there, you can politely or not so politely invite them out. You can sweep them out, but my favorite is to take a fire hose, where, you know, like they're blowing out a fire, one of those fire hoses, and doing a 360-degree blowout in the center of my head. Blow their butts out. But be there. Listen to the rest of this from the center of your head. What I've learned is that if you are ever confused about making a decision, someone else is in your head.
Mm.
And it's, you can tell, even just the shift, you can feel the shift of everyone listening the moment everyone sat in the center of their head. And take a breath. That breath brings you into present moments. As you're listening to Sarah and I, take a breath, be in the center of your head, and listen to the rest of this from the center of your head.
Taking a breath is essential in everything we do in life.
Yes.
And it helps us focus. It helps us align. It keeps us calm in order to receive and just puts us in a right place.
It brings us into present moment.
Mm. And, you know, what I was feeling when you were talking about, you know, that finding that spot, that's your consciousness. In a lot of the way I visualize it is, it's right in the dead center of your left and right of your brain. You know, a lot of the time that other voice in there is that left brain and the right brain both having a conversation where they disagree. So by being in the center of that, you're taking that dialogue out of there and just being center and let the information come in and not allow both sides of the brain to dictate, which comes from knowledge that you've learned down the road. If you get into that center knowledge, right into the center of your brain, you're opening up your channel to the knowledge that you need to know now, not old data that's not serving you.
So let me ask you this. You're in the center of your head. What do you notice?
What do I notice? Well, I notice a sense of peace. It's like a void where I'm open to receive.
Yes. And it's quieter.
Yes.
Quieter place.
Yes.
So in the power field class I teach, there is a place we go to, it's called higher mind. And it's what is one of the two still points in the body. And it is even more quieter than this center of head. But we teach this first. Come be in the center of head and manage yourself. Be in with breath. The breath gets you present, present moment. But then I teach a rose tool. And the rose delineates where, because you mentioned drama a few times.
Mm-hmm.
When we put a rose out, and there's a reason why I use a rose, but when you use a rose, you are only responsible for what's on your side of the rose. Everything else is Shakespeare's theater. It's on the other side of the rose.
Mm-hmm.
So an example, if you go to a movie, you climb in, you have your popcorn and your juju beans, whatever you're doing with your movie, but you're watching actors play out a role on a screen. It's not your truth. It's a movie. So when leave it there. And when you walk out, you can talk about the movie if you wanted to, but you're not in those roles. You went, you paid your whatever it is now, $15 to see a movie. You laughed, you cried, you had thought-provoking moments. But you left it there. You didn't have to go to and own the movie. You didn't own the drama.
Mm-hmm.
So what did my friend Sarah say a little while ago? Leave the hurricane behind.
Yes.
And the hurricane is on the other side of the rose. I'm only responsible for what's on my side of the rose. So can we do this? Can we have everyone practice this? Play this new tool?
Yes, I think it's absolutely essential that they do.
Okay, so everyone, at some point of your life, you have seen a beautiful rose. So would you just allow yourself to imagine a rose standing right out in front of you? Now, if you would take your hand and reach out as far as you reach in front of you, now turn your hand so it faces you, so the palm is facing you, would you place that rose right there in front of you? Again, you're only responsible for what's on the inside of the rose. Now, you don't just walk around with your hand sitting in front of you. So would you create another one of those roses? Duplicate it. Would you take it with your right hand and would you place it on your right side? Again, as far as you can reach right there. Let it go. Now, look at the rose in front of you. Duplicate it again. Now, take it with your left hand and put it by your left side. Would you look at the rose in front of you? Create another one. And would you put it right behind your back? So that right now you have a rose in front, left side, right side behind you. Would you create another rose? Put it above your head. Create one more rose. Put it below your feet. Would you feel the sense of containment? You are only responsible for what's on the inside of these six roses. Everything else is on the outside, and it's yours, permission, yours to observe. And the place where we're going to observe from is the center of your head. So just notice right now what you notice. You're sitting in the center of your head, within six roses, and would you take a breath and be in present moment?
Smell the roses.
And what does it feel like? Can you notice the calmness of the body? How quiet it is. There's no drama. It's you inside of your field of roses here. I think you just said that. Smell them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I teach is, you know, how big is that rose that you put around you? You can visualize it as, you know, a 2-foot stem and a flower that's about an inch tall. But what would it be like if in your kindergarten playfulness, you allow that rose to be the same height that you are, the same width that you are? And again, these roses simply say, here's where I end and where you begin. What's inside of these six is mine to own. 100% completely mine to own, mine to have, mine to embrace, mine to invest in, mine to have this high vibration and feel the feeling of being certain. We used that word earlier. So simply be certain.
And being certain is also being peaceful. That's the beauty. We all seek peace.
I see.
And
peace.
When we're certain, we are at peace. We're at peace with what we need to know at that time.
And right now, are you feeling that peace as you're sitting within this rose, this field of roses in the center of your head? Are you feeling the feeling of peace? And how does that, is it working for you? My thought is everyone's shaking their heads. Yes, this is delicious.
Mm.
So what would it be like to have your conversation with your father, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your boss from right here?
Yeah.
Right here. Have that conversation. Especially be here when you're looking at, I think you mentioned Facebook, the social media.
Mm-hmm.
If one of the other ways I teach to use the rose is I put a rose between me and a television screen, between me and the telephone, so that I'm hearing what I'm responsible, I own, it's mine, what's on the inside of the rose. So if I'm watching a hurricane happening, the drama out, it's on the other side of the rose, and it's between me and the television. And I'm at choice, and I can choose to go, isn't interesting? There's some what happening in Georgia. There's some rain happening in Vancouver. There's some sunshine happening in Fort Collins, Colorado. Wherever that observation is, I don't have to go there. I can observe it and choose, how do I want to respond? How do I want to step into my next moment?
As you pointed out at the beginning, when you talked to somebody who was looking for a job and she was in desperation and in need, and so therefore she sent out the wrong vibration. If we place these roses around ourselves and center ourselves and put ourselves in this protection, we can do this in any arena that we go to, anywhere that
any.
We know. That
yes.
We know that this conflict out there, what it means is that I'm protecting myself. I'm not looking at anyone else to do that. I'm protecting myself. I'm putting this aura, this vibration around me. That is one of love and of peace. Not only am I protecting myself, but I'm exuding this peace.
I'm shining my light. I'm radiating my light. I'm being the beacon because I'm investing. We're coming back to that. I'm giving myself permission. I'm in present moment. I'm grounded. I'm within this aura, this field of light, this six roses that simply say, here's where I end and where you can begin. And you own it. You own it in the higher vibration. You are the beacon. You are the
light.
But
also what you're also telling other people is, I will communicate with you on this vibration.
Yes. Yes,
don't waste your time with bringing in any other vibration to me.
Well, and
raise your vibration.
Speak to me. And what you'll notice is you'll be in a conversation, and when you raise your vibration, it absorbs. Let me back up. There is a concept, and it's one of the reasons why we use a rose for this tool. A higher, faster vibration will always absorb a lower, slower vibration. So higher, faster absorbs lower, slower. So if you are in your center of your head within your six roses and you are holding your high vibration, that feeling of excitement, that feeling of certainty, that feeling of empowerment, that feeling of peace, not just the word of peace, but the feeling of peace.
Yeah.
When you hold that, like you put on your coat, you put on your garment, you wear the vibration, and somebody comes around you that has a lower vibration, almost guarantee within 15 minutes, they will be at a higher vibration.
Or they'll leave.
Or they'll leave.
Yeah.
They can't be around you.
They either have to raise to match you or they have to go.
Or they'll just raise up. So there's many times when I'll just have one of my clients, says, just match my crown right now, my crown chakra that's at the top of your head. So just, you don't worry about it, just match my color. And I'm usually sitting at blue when I'm working with a new client. Blue, everyone can have sky blue. It's a beautiful hello. Hello, everybody. Sky blue.
I'm a huge sky. I mean, that's me. I'm blue all the way. And every personality trying to say that I'm a blue.
So if right now on the call, everyone's at hello, I see you. That hello, that vibration of blue, is much higher than, oh, poor me, life sucks, I'm going to go eat some worms. It's so much higher than, wow, I'm having a crappy day. It's so much higher than, you know, my boyfriend left me, lost my job. It's the hello.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves to be seen, to be acknowledged, to be validated, to be given permission to stand in their truth. Everyone will become conscious. Everyone will have this opportunity to be within their field, their 6 points. We put roses there, higher vibration. Those of you.
Well, you know, the other beauty of it is you can change the color of your rose according to the kind of vibration you want to set out.
Absolutely.
You know,
what color would you like?
Purity, you know, white for your purity and protected, you know, blue for invitation, you know, red for passion, you know, orange for just exuberant energy, green for healing. I mean, you know, wonderful golden rays as sending out. You know, and that way also we know we're sending out that message to people in the vibrational conversation that we're addressing. So they know how to come to you on that. Or who knows how to come to you? You know, I need that blue, or I need that green, and they're going to come to you and match that color,
exactly.
That vibration.
Exactly. So you mentioned, can you change your roses at any time? It is a thought in present moment and a command. When we were talking about being commanding, give the command. So right now, everyone listening, look at what color of rose did you create. And on your command, give the command of those roses, all 6 of them at one time, give it the command to change color, to change vibration. And if you would like, you can take a crayon, a little crayon, and touch the rose. So if I want my roses to be purple, use a purple crayon, touch the roses, all 6, turn them purple. That quick. And notice what changed. When you changed your color from red to purple, how did it feel with inside? You're sitting inside. How did that feel?
I think it would be a really great exercise for people just to go and sit out in the park on a lovely spring morning with a lovely breeze in their hair, sun gently kissing them, and just sit there, center themselves, and do this exercise.
Absolutely. It's an immediate exercise. It can be done anywhere, anytime. I
on
put roses
work,
around
anywhere.
My vehicles as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Drive, you have a rose front, back, side around your vehicle. I'm getting ready to get on a plane tomorrow for Calgary. Alberta, Calgary, I'm going to, or maybe it's Calgary, Alberta. I'm not sure how you say that. First trip to Canada.
Calgary, Alberta.
Calgary, Alberta. Okay, and so when I'm flying, I will have a grounding cord on the plane, and I will have roses around the plane.
Now, you know what? We're running out of time, even at an hour and a half. So I'm going to have you quickly tell people about the app and also how they can get a hold of you. You've got like 2 minutes left. I can't believe how.
2 minutes. Okay. The app is called Soul Food Deck One by Nadine. And you have to put the whole thing, because if you just ask for soul food, you get Southern cooking. If you just put in Nadine, you get all the songs that are related to Nadine. So Soul Food Deck One by Nadine. It is a deck of 66 cards that are meant to motivate, inspire, and uplift. So you can shuffle the deck. You can pick a card today. The front of the card has a statement or a thought. And the back of the card has action steps. And it is available for all of you who use iTunes for any of your Apple devices is what it's – that's where the market is right now. And at some point I will be shifting it over so that we include all the Droid users in the BlackBerry. But right now it's available in iTunes.
Okay.
And how people can connect with me I'm Dr. Nadine, and if you Google me just as Nadine, you'll find me everywhere. However, my website is called Magnificence Mine. It's a place where you get to embrace, you get to allow yourself that place of stepping into, claiming ownership for, exploring your magnificence. MagnificenceMind.com. And thank you so much for having me as your guest today. And I have classes out there. We didn't get to talk about those, but if you would like more about the tools I teach, please contact me. My email is drnadine111@gmail.com. drnadine111@gmail.com.
And, of course, everything is on the posting here, the apps, her website, and everything else, so you can find it all here. And I really do encourage you to, this show, obviously, is going to be airing throughout the day, and then it will go to the cloud, and you'll find it on the Positive Living Vibrations page. And I encourage you to download it and pass it on to your friends, and because there's some wonderful tools here today, very simple, easy tools to use.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone, for having me, and have an uplifting day.
That really could just get you started on embracing your own life. I thank you so much. This was so much fun, and I'm glad we extended the time on it. You've taught us so much here today, and I think there's definitely going to be another show down the road. Until the next time, folks, be kind to yourself.
Thank you for tuning in to PLV Radio. We hope that our programming has inspired you. Please feel free to visit the website to find past shows and schedules. Find your favorite hosts, leave comments about your experience, and share ideas for future shows. Don't forget to visit us on your favorite social media websites, which you will find links to at plv-radio.com. Listen with your friends and share the inspiration.